God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
If you go to Jeremiah 29 and he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Here's what it's saying in plain English. He's saying, listen, my heart towards you is to bring you to blessing. Well, if his heart is to bless me, then if every other thing that's negative comes, that's not God's heart. What I do is wait until his heart is manifest. My mama used to beat me. She didn't spank me. She beat me. She beat me. There was no DHS, so she got away with it. And once when I was suspended from school because my teachers lied on me to the principal and said that I did something that I did but just didn't do, and I got suspended for 3 days. She beat me all the way from Pratt Arnold Playground all the way to the house. She beat me in front of my friends. They were laughing. She beat me. And I ran into the house, ran upstairs, ran into her bedroom, and lodged in the corner. Like an idiot, I should have ran to a neighbor and screamed. And she was just beating me, and she beat me with an ironing cord. And she had it wrapped at the bottom with tape. And one of the cords came out, was dislodged, and went right across my face. And I had this red, you know, like welt right across my face. And she stopped beating me to minister to my welt. And here's what she said. You shouldn't have made me do that. Well, I was going to play it up then, Jack. Like, you see what you did? You see what you did? Yeah, yeah. You made me do it. You see what you did? And then you don't want to bandage it. You don't want to do anything. You want them to look at it all the time because, you know, a scar represents cookies. Come on, go on out there and play. Go on out there. I thought I was going to be on punishment. See, you got that scar. Well, that's how it is with God. You know, God will chastise us, and then he'll turn right around and heal us. God will take you through the furnace of affliction, but wrap you up in an asbestos suit so the flame don't kindle on you. Don't you ever think that the chastisement of God means he's disowned you. It means he's correcting your behavior. So when you have the faith of God, you can take your whipping and know you coming out much better than you went in. And the devil can't tell you God doesn't love you because the Bible says he only chastens those that he loves. How many of you are loved by God? Ah! Hallelujah. So this man has this son, and this man says this to Jesus. Jesus said, how long has this boy been this way? He said, he's been this way since he was a child. And then he throws in a very terrible, terrible statement. And the King James, they put it like this. They said, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And I'll read it to you out of another translation just to get the gist differently, just to hear it differently. It says in Mark 9, verse 20, so they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth, and Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, the father answered, it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Jesus said to the man, if you can, everything is possible for him who believes. Watch this. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. This is a little kinder than I believe, help thou my unbelief. The Elizabethan concept of Mark 9:24 casts aspersions on the man. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Through that phrase, he creates a paradox. He has the belief and the unbelief existing in the same context, and that can't happen. They would cancel each other out. This other translation says, I do believe, but help me overcome the nagging disbelief. It's a little more humanistic. It's a little more theological. We come before God with a belief system intact. The question that's before us today is not whether or not you believe, but it is who do you believe? It is not in, it is who. Of what are you born? Of what are you born? Who? Many of you have simply perpetuated the stereotype of your culture and your class. No one told you to do it. You just believed this was how you were supposed to live. Because you saw every other single woman in your family had a baby out of wedlock. You saw every marriage in your family disintegrate within 5 years. You saw it. It became not only your socialization, but your belief structure. Oh, we like little cute little Pentecostal phrases. I'm under a generational curse. Nonsense. Nonsense. What you are under is improper thought process that causes you to have faith in something that is already defeated before you even get started. Your faith was in failure. Your faith was in defeat. You would use phrases like, how are you? Well, I'm making it. Oh, that's a defeated statement. You ain't making it. There's nowhere in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation to justify that ungodly statement. Hey, how are you today? I'm here. No! Then your faith is in you. But if you have the faith of God, how are you victorious? How are you winning? How are you healed? How are you successful? How are you working things towards the victory of God? Now we bring you to this very strong word, this word that defies human logic, that we use throughout our lives and conversations without fully recognizing its importance, and that is the word believe. I've been pondering this word and studying this word and grabbing it from Scripture, and I've developed a bunch of dark spaces regarding it because we simplify one of the most tremendous statements in the Word of God without understanding what Jesus is teaching us. Many of you will say right now, I believe God, and I would shatter that theology in a heartbeat if we were to sit together to analyze the word. We walk on crutches when it comes to belief. If not crutches, then we have a walking boot. We have something to help us. But believing God is not always when things are well. Believing God without preposition, without the in or the or the of, just believing God declares that I believe in his heart. I believe that he has the best for me. And while I may not be able to see it at the moment that I am involved in something, I know that there is something that he has for my good. So how does the just live? How do they live? Bad things happen. How do you live? Good things happen. How do you live? It is not a lifestyle of the roller coaster, sometimes up, sometimes down, almost level to the ground. No! The Christian in spirit is always up. Situations are up and down, but I'm always up. My God, no matter how you criticize Donald Trump, he's still the president. No matter how you talk about him, he's still the president. He's always up in his position. Though people's perception may be down, he's still up. I don't care what the devil says. I'm still a child of God. I don't care what the doctor says. By his stripes, I'm healed. I don't care what the economists say. God will supply my need. I don't care what you say. I'm still more than a conqueror. I do not put my belief in what you say, but in the heart of God. If belief were not an important concept for kingdom dwellers, then why would Jesus say, if you can believe, all things are possible? Why would he say that? Why didn't he say, if you have faith? Why didn't he say that? He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you can confess it. He did not say that. He said, if you can believe. Glory to God. My brothers and sisters, it is your belief system that is coming under attack. Once again, as a race of people, we believe the negative. So much so that we marry it and repeat it later. Well, I'll meet you all down at the church at 7 o'clock, not CP time. What the heck is CP time? It is an indication through a metaphorical use that we expect you to be. Look at you, see where you believe? You hire a tradesman of your own race, and 9 times out of 10, you expect them to rip you off. Can't give my people a break. That's why I'm only going to deal with Japhethites. Why? You perpetuate the stereotype. And so does your culture. I challenge you, get into your car and ride out to Plymouth, White Marsh. Just get on Stenton Avenue and keep going all the way out till you get to Joshua Road. Turn left on Joshua Road, and when you come to Germantown Pike, turn right. You will find Plymouth, White Marsh High School. When you see that school, park your car and let your jaw hit the ground. looks like a college campus in Massachusetts, and it's just a high school. Then get back into your car and drive down to 22nd and Lehigh. And look at my alma mater, Dobbins. In a little block, their schools are miles long. Why? Because the people that move into those communities know that they're going to pay much more in taxes in order to have those schools. So they're willing to make that investment so that their children will have a better education. Inner city people say, I ain't paying no more taxes, so you better do something with the schools. Why? Because we perpetuate the stereotype. We don't want to pay it, but we want the state to educate our children without money. How can you believe your children are going to have better schools and you don't want to pay for them? But you'll go out and get a new car. When they lay that paper in front of you that says $25,000, you be like, I can handle that. What's the cheapest price can I get? But when it comes to the investment of our future, to turn their minds around so that they don't wind up selling drugs and being victims of society, we don't believe we can handle that. We don't believe we can do that. We don't want to pay the teachers more money, but we want the best teachers. See, we perpetuate the stereotype of defeat. Dr. King says, yes, whatever you do, do it with pride. If you sweep streets, he says, sweep streets like Raphael painted pictures. Sweep streets like Mozart composed music. I agree that one should do whatever they're doing with all of their heart and all of their gusto. But I do not think we ought to raise an entire generation of street sweepers. Somebody in our culture has to pick up the mantle of Ben Carson. Somebody in our culture has to reach for a neurosurgeon. Somebody in our culture has to become a cardiac surgeon. Somebody in our culture needs to make a difference in finance. But that's not what we believe. Because if you take a survey of our people, they are taught when you get out of school, get a job. And even if you go to college, get a job. But Japhethites and Shemites are taught that when you get out of school, buy the company. And that's what you believe. That's what you believe.
If you believe. For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12117A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and broadcast television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.